Well, tonight I have an outline, not really an outline, a list. The list on its own won't make a lot of sense, but together with, you can take notes, or with the narrative, we'll have a little bit more depth. So again, every night we begin with a slightly different group, and I want to just reiterate the context of this whole discussion, which is the goal here in this particular series is not to develop brand new insights, and although they're necessary sometimes in order to go into the practical, but the goal here is to develop practical practices that somebody can undertake on Hanukkah in simple, doable ways in 5770, himself, herself, in the family, so that we can feel that Hanukkah made a difference, that we actually got something out of the Yom Tov, we did something, we changed something in our life, we ourselves were changed, we altered our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we did something different, and we looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his world through a different angle, and so when Hanukkah is over, we can actually feel that that's different. Last night, after we finished lighting the menorah, and we finished our predictable, nothing wrong with it, predictable, and it's assigned, and it's supposed to be done, our predictable, Neros HaLolo Ma'os Sur, all the stanzas. So then, at that point, we usually dissolve, unless I have something very special to say, we usually dissolve into our things and go away. And then I, only because I was holding in this whole thing, so I stayed with the menorah, and sang a song that my mother's father had taught me 35 years ago in Yerushalayim. I never knew that he knew this song, and I never knew there was such a custom to sing Ana B'Koach seven times, Tefillah from Nechunyam and Akana. That's the tefillah authored by Atana, the beautiful tefillah that we offer right before Lecha Dodi quietly. So there's a minhag, evidently, that some people have to recite it seven times. And so my mother's father had this custom of singing a certain nigun that calls for each word to be recited seven times. So rather than say the whole paragraph once and then say it again and then say it the third time through seven, each word is said seven times. Ana, 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 and it goes like that the whole way through. So I sat there and I did that. For me, it was transformative. It was something different. I actually davened in front of the menorah, and took extra time, and my family had the experience of me actually investing in the menorah, and investing in Hadlakas HaNeros, and it was a different thing. When I sat down to eat afterwards, I felt like a Jew. You know, I didn't feel like somebody had just kindled a menorah and done some happy highlights with the colors, and so on and so forth. So I'm just saying that's the kind of thing that we're looking for, and. Some of the things that I'm going to review tonight are actually taken from previous sessions, but I'm trying to demonstrate by the sheer accumulation that there are things we can do. I want to get people's imagination starting so that people can actually rescue a moment or two from Hanukkah and have it make a difference all year long. So, first of all, I want to introduce us to the concept, a different angle on the idea of the menorah expanding each night from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And use that as a way of getting into these things, which is that not only are we counting the nights, and not only are we proclaiming the miracle that continued ever greater each night through night 8, but we're also saying that Hanukkah builds on itself, so that on the first night we light a candle, on the second night that candle is still there, and there's a new candle. So we're growing, we're building on what there is before, and each night it's the collective light of all the nights before that we're actually bringing to us. So there's a cumulative experience of absorbing Kedusha as we go through Hanukkah. So there's actually a value in revisiting, so to speak, revisiting some of the things that we may have done or some of the perspectives that we may have, and we bring it all together. And the idea is that the light of Hanukkah should actually carry us through the whole year. Now, Hanukkah is going to end as Teves, which tonight Rosh Chodesh Teves, begins. Teves is the dark month. It's really the month of it's the month that the Mekubalim say belongs to Esav. And this is the month that Esav has dominion. And yet we're launched into it through the light of Hanukkah, so that the light of Hanukkah can really get us through the darkness, so to speak, of Golos. So that's what we want to do, is we want to pick up different sparks and then take it through. Also, I just want to introduce you, if it's not new to you, please forgive me, but I want to introduce you to a concept when we deal with any Yom Tov, but particularly, I think, useful. It's true all the time, but it's useful with Hanukkah, which is that we're not celebrating the Hanukkah that we had last year. We're not celebrating any Hanukkah that we ever had. This Hanukkah will never be. This Hanukkah has its own specific mission and its own specific holiness and its own specific angle. It has a purpose. Its insertion in the world is designed specifically for this moment, for this arrangement, for this relationship that the world has, for this distance, for this closeness, whatever it is, and for us specifically. And we'll never be the same. Rav Tzadok HaKohen has a very beautiful concept, he writes in Tzidkas HaTzadik, that Klal Yisrael, each year as they observe, I think he says it about Hanukkah, if I remember, each year as they observe Hanukkah, they're observing it better than they were before. It's almost a term he uses, he doesn't talk in English, but more powerfully than they observed it the year before, because they've already observed last year's Hanukkah. So whatever Hanukkah had to offer last year has brought Klal Yisrael to a different place, and it's from that place that we're observing this Hanukkah. So from our perspective, it's the sixth night of Hanukkah, right? We lit six candles tonight. So we have 2.5 days left, right? Tomorrow night is 70, so on and so forth. There's less than 72 hours left. So there's different ways of looking at oneself and a Hanukkah at this point. It's already the sixth night. I can't believe it. I haven't even had a chance to catch my breath. I do six candles already, and what did I do, and how did I count? I don't even remember saying Al Nisim today. I didn't even eat, so I could, whatever. I didn't have any Hanukkah. Then there's the other thing, which is right now it's the sixth night of Hanukkah. There's 2.5 days of Hanukkah left, and there's something available out there. It's, you know, and there's something that will make a difference. And there's something that can affect my neshama, and there's a contribution that I could make as an observer of Hanukkah, participating in Hanukkah, to the world and to the light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeking to have brought into the world through observance of Hanukkah. So, again, the reason we designed this thing as a six-part thing is because it's really, as opposed to a series of instructions and insights, it's really designed to, like, walk ourselves through. So, you know, okay, I'll see you tomorrow night, I'll see you Shabbos, I'll see you, you know, let's review, let's go ahead, let's take it a step further. The idea is just really to be constructive and creative as we travel through Hanukkah. So, we had mentioned before, and I want to review this very briefly, one of the ways that we can actually redeem a piece of Hanukkah is to practice Halal V'Hodah in our lives. Both with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with other people, which means that we want to put ourselves in a mode of acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to look for Him in our lives. We want to look for Him in the world. We want to try to notice Him. We want to be able to say Hallel just by the way we look around at the world around us. And with people, which means that you can't really turn on and turn off an attitude of thank you and acknowledgement. Either you're in it or you're not in it. And if you're in it, then you're going to be acknowledging and praising people around you for the things that they mean to you and for the various kochas that they have. Last night I got a call from somebody I hadn't seen in months. She calls me, she had a real problem, and she was really brokenhearted about the problem. So I was thinking about this attitude of Halal V'Hodah. So I decided that I was going to see in her every drop of virtue that I could, even though she had actually strayed pretty far from what she wanted to do and how she wanted to be. And at the end of the call, I asked her straight out. I said, in your best days, you know, what virtues do you have? And she described some, and then I said, well, let me describe some others that I see. And by the end of the conversation, she felt like a real person, you know. The point is that that's a mode of Halal V'Hodah. So, you know, coming from that, when I say Halal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the things that He's done for me, I'm already in that modality, so I don't have to artificially crank it up all of a sudden and feel, okay, now it's time to feel good about God, you know, because I'm already looking for the positive in the world, and I'm already noticing it in others. So that's what I'm saying. So practicing Halal V'Hodah could be a transforming attitude that we can take through the whole year. Number two, getting up early for davening. This would be under the guise, first of all, there's an idea of preparing for Hallel. That's, if Hallel is the definition of the day, that the day is defined as 8 days designated for Hallel, so besides the fact that it can't possibly mean just 5 minutes every morning you're going to say Hallel, and other than that, Hanukkah is irrelevant, as we said in the first one, but it also means that you got to be prepared for it. You have to somehow, you can't just let the words fall out of your mouth at the moment of Hallel. You want to make your mouth, you want to make your being ready for it. So one way to do that would be to say, I'm saying Hallel today. I'm going to get up and get ready. I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to, you know, get there last minute. I'm going to get there a drop early. Or if it's not shul, if I'm davening at home, I'm actually going to set up enough time so that I can actually offer these words with a little bit of thought, minimally. So that's one aspect of getting up early, specifically on Hanukkah. Two, another aspect of getting up early would be just the idea of renewal, of doing, so Hanukkah is all about newness. It's all about freshness. It's all about ischachos. It's about light where there's otherwise darkness. One way of doing that is just to do something different. Take the alarm button and move it 3 digits, preferably earlier. The idea would be just in honor of the idea that I'm going to do something fresh and new. And also because it's anticipating the avoda of the day, the service of the day, which is Hallel. Moving on, one thing that particularly here about Jacob is missing, and I'm thinking of addressing that generally all year long, is the karbanos. We skip these sections of the sacrifices in the morning for all kinds of reasons, maybe good ones, maybe bad ones. But the karbanos is really that which connects us most directly to the daily avoda and the Beis HaMikdash, the temple sacrifices. And the Hanukkah is all about the Beis HaMikdash. It's all about returning the Shekhinah to a place where it's been driven out from. And so Hanukkah would be a good time, even though there's two or three mornings left, for a person to say, okay, in honor of Hanukkah, in honor of the Chashmonaim, in honor of the undertaking to bring the Shekhinah into the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to invoke the details of the Karbanos and simply recite in English or in Hebrew, depending on a person's capability and understanding of the Karbanos. And I'm going to do that and thereby sanctify, so to speak, verbally, the Beis HaMikdash. I see the numbers here are... your numbers are okay, right? Number 3 goes to number 4, doesn't it? Because in my outline, it doesn't. It's okay. Next one, the study of Torah. Hanukkah is so much about Torah, right? It's the Rabim Yad Ma'atim, Zedim Yad Askeso Asecha, the evil ones, that means even the Jews who were fighting on the side of the Hellenists, into the hands of the Askeso Asecha, the ones who were involved and invested and immersed in your Torah. The light of the menorah is the light of the wisdom of Torah, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wisdom of Torah, Torah Ora, and so forth. We've developed some of this in previous talks. But Hanukkah is very much about Torah, and particularly Torah Sheba'al Peh. Not only that, the whole idea of Hanukkah is to add light. Mosif V'Holich continues to project light. We continue to add light into the world each night. And that's really what we do when we study Torah. When every time we're studying Torah, we are not boning up on a text and absorbing more text. What we're doing is bringing light into the world. We're actually the vehicle through which Kadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom comes into the world. We're the ones who bring it in. Without us, there cannot be Torah in the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu, quote unquote, needs us to bring the Torah into the world. So we are the bulb to project the energy of the Torah into the world. So therefore, it's a little bit, if you think about it, so you come to Hanukkah and we have the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, which is this hidden light. And then what do? We light the menorah, and then we don't do anything about the Torah itself. So it's a little—it's almost absurd if you think about it. The Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal in another context, but it's the same thing. Wealthy man's walking through the streets, and he comes across a beggar. And the beggar says, "I'm desperate. Can you please help me?" The wealthy man says, "Yeah, I can help you. Only problem is, I don't have anything on me. Come to my house at exactly 7 o'clock. I'll be there, and I'll be able to help you." Man goes home, 7 o'clock, he's waiting, looking, no knock at the door, he looks outside, nobody there, opens the door, nobody there, guy's not there. Next day he's walking through the street, comes across the same beggar, beggar says, I need help. He says, I can help him, but I don't have him carrying my money with me. Come home, I have it in my safe, I'll be glad to help you. Guy goes back home, he's waiting, the point of time, nothing happens. So that is Klai Yisrael with the menorah. We light the menorah every night, but meanwhile, the main deal, which is the light of the Torah itself, we don't necessarily do anything about. So we have unbelievable schedules, and we have unbelievable pressures, and we are also very faint of heart in terms of our ability to focus and to change and so on and so forth. But we could certainly open a sefer for 30 seconds after we light the menorah, or 30 seconds before we light the menorah, so to speak. So like, just if we light the shamas, the candle itself, we could light ourselves up, so to speak, with a drop of Torah study. And it could be on any level. And if you have little kids, it could be Aleph Beis. Let's look at an Aleph, you know, the holy letters of the Torah. Or it could be personal, just for yourself, for a couple seconds beforehand. It's one way of going to the mikvah, just opening up a sefer and immersing yourself in the light of the Torah. Besides everything else, it turns you into a vessel. By studying Torah, you're turned into a base kibbutz, into a vessel where all of the holiness of the light of the menorah can be deposited. Otherwise, there's no vessel. It doesn't go anywhere. There's not anywhere to go. The other thing is, there's a concept in halacha, which has application in the realm of attitude, which is in halacha, let's say a person makes a bracha to do the mitzvah of checking for chametz. And then he takes a phone call, and he doesn't check for chametz. So now his bracha is in vain, and the bracha is ineffective. It's not connected to the ma'isa mitzvah, to the action. So he can't be mafsik between the bracha and the ma'isa mitzvah. Let's say a person makes a bracha, begins the action, and then takes a phone call. Now he doesn't have to make another bracha. Once he's already begun the ma'isa mitzvah, he's already started searching for chametz. That time when he shouldn't interrupt, but if he does interrupt, he does not have to go back and make another bracha, because the bracha was connected to the ma'isa mitzvah. There was an actual connection there. The structure that the sages had in mind was kept in place. Similarly, so when we light the menorah, what we want to do is go immediately into some form of relationship to Torah. We don't want to light the menorah and then have a hefsek and take life, and then think about the Torah a week or two later. We want to light the menorah and get into it, you know, go straight into the thing. The menorah is the bracha, so to speak. Okay. To elaborate on five, just for one more second, it's not in my notes, maybe, I don't know if I want to have in your notes, but this really is also something else. It wouldn't be a bad idea for a person to think of Hanukkah annually as a time for him to make some kind of a minimal but stretching Torah study goal. That Hanukkah would be the time where he would say to himself, you know, I want to study one volume more, I want to study one Mishnah more, I want to study a Perek. I want to increase my skills in learning Rashi. I want to master the laws of Hanukkah, or the laws of Purim. Or I want to go through the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in English on this. Or I want to memorize an entire Masechta, or whatever. But make a goal that's accomplishable, but something beyond what would otherwise happen if you didn't sit down and make the goal. Now, Hanukkah would be a good time to refresh that each year, some kind of a goal. And in honor of that, would be like a Hanukkah gift to yourself, to God, and to the light of Hanukkah. All right, number six, Maariv. We talked about this last night. I just want to review it very quickly. I'm not even review it, just mention it again. The idea of a person walking around seeing himself as an attitude of Maariv, connecting to God through the night, connecting to God through faith when he doesn't feel totally connected, putting on the altar different sacrificial attitudes where he doesn't feel necessarily that terribly connected, and going into that area of religious life and taking upon himself something, whether it be davening a drop more or whether it be refraining from other violations that are extremely alluring and enticing, whether it be shaking off laziness or whether it be fighting a certain attitude or a certain character trait that a person has, whether it be selfishness or whether it be anger at people in the household, or whatever it is, that person takes that and puts it on the altar, which is what Maariv is. It's the nighttime prayer that corresponds to the Evarim Ubedarim on the Mizbeach, and the light of the menorah, as we said last night, comes from the light of the Mizbeach. So Hanukkah is very much a Maariv time. So being Maariv, for a person to be Maariv walking around, even during the day, doesn't have to be nighttime. The person has an attitude. And certainly Ma'ariv itself, realizing that Shema, realize when you say Shema, the ultimate Hodah, the ultimate Al HaNisim, is to say God is the source of every single thing in the world. That's what Hodah is. So when a person says Shema, that's Hodah. That's fulfillment of what Chazal want us to be doing on Hanukkah. So therefore, going through, you know, saying Shema with a little bit more focus and realizing that he's literally surrendering himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every possible way. Number 7 I have over here, sanctify your house in some way. Let's understand that on Hanukkah particularly, the house becomes a Beis HaMikdash. The light of the menorah moves, so to speak, from the Beis HaMikdash to the house of the Jew. And the Jew really becomes the Kohen Gadol and the Melech at the same time. All the institutions of Yiddishkeit are centered in the Jewish home. There is nowhere else. And the Jewish home, so therefore you're the Kohen Gadol, you're the high priest in your house, and you're also the Melech. The Melech was given, the Kohen Gadol is the one who has to light the menorah. He's the one who's responsible for the Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash. And the king is the one who walks around with two Torahs, the regular Torah that every Jew has, and then the other Torah. So it says in Svarim that the two Torahs in a Jewish house represent the two Torahs of the king. You have, on Hanukkah, you have the mezuzah, which is the Torah Shebisav, the written Torah, because the ideal way of lighting the menorah is to put it out of the doorpost on the left side. You have the mezuzah on the right and the menorah on the left. So you have the mezuzah, that's the written Torah, and you have the menorah, which is the oral Torah, the light of the Torah itself. Those are the two Torahs of the king. The point is that the home is the Jewish sanctuary. It's the Beis HaMikdash, particularly on Hanukkah. So we want to start looking at our homes as places where we want to increase Kedusha. So we want to eliminate certain influences and we want to bring in others. It might mean buying a Jewish book. It might mean having Sfarim around. It might mean talking in a certain way. It might mean limiting what we watch on the computer or on television or on videos or whatever it is. Everybody in their own way. But the idea of sanctifying one's home in some way, taking out of Hanukkah that our home is a drop more, even a fractional increase in something dedicated to Kedusha in the home, coming out of Hanukkah would be a lasting effect of the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. Then I have over here 3 other things. Numbers, 8, 9, and 10 in your list? I hope that's how it works.
7, 8, 9, 10, we have.
Okay. 7 is sanctifying your house, right?
No.
Practice holiness.
No.
Practice holiness. Okay, got it. Okay, good. So let's look at number 7. So they're very good. These 4 things. Practice holiness of the mouth. Self-control, purity of language, positive words, tefillah. What the idea here is, I don't mean just because you're saying Hallel. That's true. You're saying Hallel. That's your job on Hanukkah. Therefore, you want the mouth that says Hallel, as we said a few nights ago. You want the mouth that says Hallel to be a little bit pure. But I'm talking about something else. The mouth, when the sages say that you put the menorah al Pesach Beso, so the Achronim say the opening of one's house is the mouth. That if we want to sanctify our souls, with the access to our souls is through the mouth. And therefore, if we want to elevate ourselves as a human being, as servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we want to work on the mouth. And so I mentioned these things here. So not only not saying evil and prohibited things, but also not saying things that are not prohibited. Just making sure that once in a while we actually just don't say something, just for the sake of not saying it. You know, it's a very powerful experience. Lo matzasi laguf tov l'shtit mishtika, say Chazal. There's not. And by the way, listen to the words. Lo matzasi laguf tov mishtika. There's nothing better for the body than shtika, than quiet. Because when we exercise self-control of the mouth, so the container of the neshama ends up itself becoming an elevated vessel and is worthy of containing the neshama when we exercise that kind of self-control. All right, number 8, repairing your vision. So we say, when we look at the menorah, we say, listen to the words. We do not have permission to listen to, we do not have permission to use those lights, but only to see them. So if you, it's like weird. Of course, does anybody think for a moment that we don't have permission to use the lights and we can't even look at them? You have to light the menorah and put on, LL blindfolds in order to, you can't look at it? What do you mean? But El Aliro Samavai, just to look at them. So the point is, yes, there might be a thought that you can't look at the menorah. Why? It is so holy that you're not allowed to look at it. You can't just casually look at this light. So we say no. You do have permission to look at it. The point, though, is that it's brought down in the Holy Svarim that if a person wants to repair damage done by looking at inappropriate things, he should look at the light of the menorah. And I'm sure it doesn't just mean stare at the flame until it gets embedded in the back of your brain. I think what it means is that just observing the menorah and reminds us, so to speak, of holy light and holy vision. And so during this period of time, I mentioned this last night in a different context, but during this period of time, it's good. So we have 2.5 days to Hanukkah. So there are things that we could control ourselves from looking at for 2 days. That would be very good. I don't think anybody needs any graphic detail for that. We all are quite aware of what's available out there in the world and in there in our own homes. So just exercising self-control in honor of holiness and realizing that our eyes are given to gaze at the face of the Almighty and not at other things, that would make a big difference. Number 9, Shalom Bayis. We also mentioned this in another context, but it's worth reviewing. Hanukkah Shabbos trumps Hanukkah, which means if a person has to choose menorah or Shabbos candles, the halacha is he has to choose Shabbos candles. The Shabbos candles are there for Shalom Bayis. So particularly at a time when we're trying to bring the Shekhinah into the house through the light of the menorah, we want to be emphasizing unity in the house, unity in the relationship with our spouses and with our children and with our family members, so that there's an atmosphere that's receptive to that kind of thing. Because when there's friction, obviously, or tension or anger or resentment or division or withholding or whatever it is that's the opposite of wholesomeness, there's no context in which anything can really happen. So I experienced this one of the nights of Hanukkah. I hope nobody's listening to the tape. I could at least look you in the face when I say this. So I decided one night this week that somebody in my family was not appropriate. They weren't invested enough in one paragraph in Moe's Sur. And that almost took me out of the ball game. And I was almost frustrated and angry. And what's going on here? Can't they just get focused for 5 minutes and what kind of stuff? Meanwhile, the whole thing's over. There's no Hanukkah, there's no nothing, and I'm not relating, and so on and so forth. So then I reminded myself of Shalom Bayis, and Shalom Bayis is not the absence of being angry. It's actually the presence of a generous attitude, or a loving attitude, and a giving attitude, and so on and so forth. So Shalom Bayis, as part of building a home that's a haven of Kedusha, is a major, major block, major building block. Number 10. I have here b'chol drachecha da'ehu, which means in all of your mannerisms, in all of your interactions, know him or reflect him. That's a better way of saying it, a better way of not translating it, but transmitting the intention of the passage, which means that let's say that we were known to have just finished a course in IBM sales. We're salesmen for IBM, and we're known to have it. We all graduated IBM sales school, and we got this big graduation ceremony. And then we go out and fan out into the world, and we go home for the holidays, right? So people want to know, how do IBM salesmen look, right? So the point is, we have to be responsible for the fact that as Jews, we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We represent the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that, what does that look like when we interact with our family members? What does it look like when we interact with our neighbors? What does it look like when we interact with our business people? How do we reflect the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? And this is all in the context of Hanukkah, which is that we're the people who are carrying the torch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Galus and through exile. And we're the ones who the world counts on. Even the ones who hate our guts, the way they hate us is by, I'm talking about Jewish people, the way they hate us is by saying, look how those religious Jews behave, right? And what they're saying is, I want to be able to count on them behaving at a certain level. I assume that they reflect something holy, so let them look holy. Right? So we want to be, this is a time to dedicate ourselves to that as a means of reflecting the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, just to review, the point here is, sometimes we make a mistake in looking at a Yom Tov. We want to find new depths, we want to get a new Haggadah that has a whole new approach to the Seder. That's beautiful, nothing wrong with that. But bottom line is, what are we going to do about the Yom Tov? What actions can we take? What small things can we do to change our lives in a way that we can walk away and say, Yom Tov came, Yom Tov left, and now something's different in my life. So these are just small examples. We can rescue all kinds of things from the Yom Tov. It's kind of like there's this train with a coal car driving by, and it's overloaded with treasures. And all you have to do is reach in and grab a treasure or two. The train will go, and the treasures will all be in there still, except for a couple. But at least we'll have some treasure, as opposed to just sitting there, wow, nice treasure, goodbye. So that's what Hanukkah is. And let's grab something. Okay? So we're going to have one more session on Shabbos afternoon, which is the last day of Hanukkah, and there the goal will be, it will not be more of the same, but the goal will be, okay, this is the most powerful day of Hanukkah, the eighth day of Hanukkah, what can we take, what will Hanukkah mean for us for the rest of the year? So that'll be 4:15 going into Mincha on Shabbos afternoon.